Columbus.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, here's your host, Jay Fox.
Welcome to another episode of Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm your host, Jay Fox, and this week, Ryan Baker from our flagship station, 97.1 FM, The Fan, WBNS in Columbus, joins us with an overview of the girls' high school softball tournament held last month. Tim Street from the Ohio High School Athletic Association announces a brand new sport, and Tim Alcorn from the Cleveland Cavaliers breaks down the Cavs' moves in the NBA draft. All that as we celebrate America 250 on the Ohio News Network. The NBA draft is behind us, and now it's time to focus on getting ready for the 26-27 season. The Cavs radio play-by-play announcer Tim Alcorn joins us now to talk about the draft and summer preparations. Welcome, my friend.
Always good to talk to you. Great to be back.
Absolutely. Vice versa. Tim, has the NBA become a league of who's the next new star, or are veterans still an important component for team roster building?
Yeah, that's a great way to start things off, Jay. I think two things can be true at the same time. It's a star-driven league. Make no mistake about that. And it always has been. You go back to Bird and Magic and Michael Jordan. I mean, the guys with the big shoe deals and all the endorsements, and it's a star-driven league because there's only five guys on the floor for each team at the same time. So, and more often than not, the stars drive everything. Now, do you need veteran leadership? Absolutely. You need role players around those stars, and you need veterans in the locker room to kind of guide the younger players to say, this is what life is like in the NBA. This is what you have to do to succeed. And for the true value of a veteran, it's a guy that's been through those playoff wars to say, this is what it takes to be an NBA champion.
Boy, you've been reading off the Jim Jones playbook, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, Jim and I certainly share a lot of the same philosophies, and boy, I will miss his thoughts and his comments in the upcoming season. As you say, 26-27, Jim will be stepping away from the radio side of things. He's not retiring in his work with the Cavs. He'll still be very involved with the organization. But yeah, and I think having worked 7 years with Jim, some of that may have rubbed off on me. No doubt about that, Jay.
I remember him saying the exact same things in my father's office over 20 years ago. But anyway, we digress. Tell me, why did the Cavs trade their round one 29th pick to Sacramento, effectively giving up forward Alex Caravan of Connecticut?
Well, you get into the financial weeds right there. The Cavs, I'm sure, had a few players that they had targeted. And so, number one, you move out of the first round because of the way that the rookie salaries are slotted. First-round picks make more than second-round picks. So you move back into that second round. And, of course, the Cavs in that second apron trying to navigate through that. And then the second thing, as I just mentioned, I'm sure they had a couple of players targeted. And when you're that deep into the first round or early into the second, which is where the Cavs ended up, you're looking for the best player available. You're not necessarily drafting for need. You just want a solid prospect. And I think the Cavs found that. So I think those two things combined is why they made the move to get back into slot number 34.
Were you as surprised as I was that Malik Thomas didn't go in the first round?
Yeah, he was on a lot of draft boards in that first round, mid to late first round pick. So that's exactly my point. I'm sure the Cavs had him on their radar, thinking even if he's not there, there's going to be another solid player there. But for Malik to be available at 34, I think it's a great pick by the Cavs.
It is, with one exception. It's, you know, he's a guard from Arkansas. We have a lot of guards on the team. You know, we need more defensive-oriented players. What do you think Malik brings to the table, or is he going to be somebody that might be packaged for later development?
No, well, later development, yes. He's going to be a guy that's certainly going to be brought along slowly. He can shoot the lights out. So, as I mentioned earlier, at 34, you're drafting the best player available. And the Cavaliers felt at 34 that Malik Thomas, and as you said, there were a lot of people that had him pegged in the first round. So they thought he was the best player available at that slot. But he's going to be a project. Listen, as you said, the Cavs are in a win-now mode with a pretty strong backcourt already. Harden, Mitchell, Craig Porter Jr., Sam Merrill, right down the line. So, but Malik Thomas is a young man that they're going to be able to develop. And I think the Cavs' track record shows that they have done an outstanding job with those young kids that they develop at the G League level and through the player development program. So I think Malik Thomas is going to grow into this system, and probably at some point down the road, he's going to be a valuable contributor to this organization.
To what degree do we interpret Dan Gilbert's comments about LeBron James?
Well, I'm going to let Dan speak for himself on that. I'm not going to try to interpret anything that, you know, Dan says. He's the chairman and the owner. So listen, there's a lot of noise swirling around out there, and really I think only LeBron James and the people in his camp know, or maybe even don't even know for sure at this particular point what's going to unfold. You got to keep in mind that free agency, and we've already seen some trades start to happen. So I'll let Dan's words speak for themselves, and certainly again, anything that Dan Gilbert, LeBron James, they tweet out, they put out, it's going to garner attention. And so but I think the stronger tweet that Dan put out was following the postseason, when he said we're thrilled that we were in the Final Four, but we're not quite there yet. I'm paraphrasing that. And
yeah,
obviously, you know, I think that's the direction the Cavs are looking. How do we get better overall to get this team over the hump?
I got a word for you. Defense.
Yeah. I mean, listen, although, first of all, Jay, as I said, two things can be true at the same time. I said that earlier, and you look back now, boy, what the Knicks did in the postseason was simply sensational.
Indeed.
I mean, what a run. And so you tip your cap to the Knicks. Now, did it end in disappointing fashion for the Cavs? Yeah. But I think when you step back and you look at it retrospectively, the Cavs were in the Final Four in the NBA. They were one of the last four standing. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 8 years. So, yeah, it was disappointing the way it ended. But you also have to tip your cap to the Knicks. They were on a roll, and they were playing great basketball.
Yes, I feel better about losing because they won.
Yeah, and not just that they won, but the way they won, playing great team basketball. And again, there was an organization that showed some patience, let these guys grow together and get accustomed to one another, made a real gutsy move last year when they got beat in the Eastern Conference Finals to relieve Tom Thibodeau and bring in Mike Brown. And boy, let's tip our cap to Mike Brown, by the way. You know, when the New York Knicks ownership in that market says, it's finals or bust, that's a lot of pressure to put on a coach. And Mike Brown responded magnificently to that.
Yes, he did. All right. We want to thank Tim Alcorn for being with us. As always, more Ohio Sports Magazine down the court when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice.
In or out on dating somebody taller than you?
My ego wouldn't be bruised walking into places and people saying your girlfriend's so much taller than you. I don't care.
Rockman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan. Get an ego. Its flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
The OHSAA Girls Softball State Tournament was held June 3rd through the 7th at historic Firestone Stadium in Akron. Ryan Baker joins us now with the highlights of the tournament. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm great. how many divisions are there for softball?
So we've got 7 divisions in softball. The OHSAA expanded that a couple years ago. Football has had 7 for a long time. So now basketball, baseball, and softball all have 7 as well.
So everybody's in line.
Yeah.
Now, with this particular tournament, were there any blowout wins?
For the most part, it was a pretty competitive tournament. I think whenever you expand, especially like you did last year, you expanded to 7. I think you're going to have a couple of those, and it seems like it's affected the middle divisions a little bit more. Like, you still have the Division I, the powerhouses at the top, and then in Division II, you have a couple teams that could still be Division I, and then the divisions like 3, 4, and 5 is kind of where everything gets crazy. So there were a couple games that maybe weren't super competitive and got away from teams, but I think for the most part, we had a really good tournament.
Didn't one of those games have like a 10-1 finish?
Yeah, there were a couple, like Hilliard Bradley. I know they won their first semifinal 12-4. That game kind of got away. West Jefferson and their semifinal win won 8-0. And I mean, maybe that's a little expected when you've got Jenna Mannon, who's going to Missouri, and you have some of those there. But we also had some 9-inning games, some 10-inning games. So it was, you had a little bit of everything.
Kenton Ridge had a historic come-from-behind win and also win streak. Tell us about Kenton Ridge.
So Kenton Ridge won their second straight softball title in Division IV, and both of them were undefeated seasons. So right now, they're going into next year with a 64-game winning streak. That's 32-0 last year, 32-0 this year.
That beats Denison baseball.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, and they were ranked in the top 10 in the nation this year in Max Preps, according to their rankings. So it's super impressive what they've done.
Now, were there any tight games? I think I saw a couple of 7-6 close games.
Yeah, we did have some good ones. The one that sticks out to mind right away, we talked about West Jefferson already. They ended up losing in their state championship game to Danville. It was 2-0, but that game was 0-0 until the 9th inning, and softball games only go 7, so it was a heck of a pitcher's duel in that one. Danville gets 2 runs in that 9th inning for the win. The Hilliard-Bradley-Lancaster All-Central Ohio final in Division I was a good one as well, back and forth. Bradley wins that one 7-5. Second year in a row, Lancaster loses in the title game at the state tournament. So yeah, we had some really fun games.
Now, we hear a lot about major sports and matriculation. In the fall, football. In the winter, basketball. In the spring, baseball. These players go on to play collegiate in their sport. Do we have the same situation going on with girls softball?
You do. We had quite a few. I already mentioned Jenna Mannon going to Missouri. Bloom Carroll won the Division III state championship. Madeline Gates, their shortstop, is a senior. She is moving on to play at Northern Kentucky next year. And I'll tell you what, Northern Kentucky is getting a good one. She didn't hardly make an out in the tournament. Their pitcher for Bloom Carroll, Emma Brandt, had a great tournament. She was one pitch away from pitching a perfect game in the semifinals.
No kidding. Wow.
Gave up a leadoff home run in the 7th inning, and that was the only hit. She's going to Shawnee State next year. You had a lot of girls going to Shawnee State, but we've seen girls in that tournament before go to Ohio State. I mentioned Missouri. Seen a girl go to LSU before, so you have a lot of it.
So there are lots of scouts that we'll see in the stands at these tournaments like they do for baseball or whatever.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be college coaches there. We even had next to our broadcast booth a couple college coaches sitting there for 2 or 3 of the games watching girls.
So for those who may not know, what is the opportunity for a female collegiate softball player to go the distance and go pros? Because most people don't know there are 2 professional women's softball leagues.
There are 2 professional women's softball leagues now. You also have the Athletes in Action that do some stuff and tours and play games as well. So there's more opportunities than there used to be. Unfortunately, we used to have the Akron Racers, which played at Firestone Stadium where the state tournament is held. We used to have them here in town. So you had a professional team there, the Akron Racers. I believe it was COVID time. They ended up shutting down and they don't play anymore.
Everything shut down.
Yeah.
after COVID.
That's absolutely true. But girls have more opportunities now than ever. And the nice thing is with the NIL, you can get a lot of opportunities to make money in college, too.
Now, the city of Columbus has doubled down on female sports. And we just got a team for the National Women's Professional Soccer League. Mm-hmm. Are we going to attempt to get a female softball team in the capital city?
Man, that's a great question, and I wish I knew the answer to that. That would be something pretty awesome, because I don't think a lot of people understand just how fun the game of softball and how fast-paced it is and how much strategy goes into it. I would love to see that. I think the biggest issue with that would be where would they play, and I think you immediately...
Cooper Stadium.
I think it would be a lot of work into that. I think the first place you would think is at Ohio State.
I would think so.
I don't know how Ohio State would work with that and if they would want to deal with that, but that would be the first issue, is where would they play.
See, I'm on a personal mission to repurpose Cooper Stadium to do something.
To anything.
Right. And, you know, and maybe, you know, that could be the park that solves the problem. Wouldn't that be a good one?
Yes.
All right. So what is next for softball? When do they go back and start practicing and doing, you know,
With all these sports, Jay, there's really no off season anymore.
Right.
These girls are playing travel ball right now as some of them get ready for other sports and whatnot. I'm guessing most of the high schools, they're probably letting them have the summer off, but fall ball's right around the corner. Oof. They'll be hitting and getting ready again.
All right. We want to thank Ryan Baker from 97.1 The Fan, WBNS, our flagship station, talking about high school girls softball in the state tournament. And there is more Ohio Sports Magazine around the bend on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is, fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Does heel pain make you hobble just getting out of bed in the morning? If heel pain is affecting your ability to exercise and meet your walking or running goals, Relief is as close as your local podiatrist. Podiatric physicians are highly trained doctors who specialize in medical and surgical treatment of the foot and ankle. Ohio Foot and Ankle podiatric physicians are available across the state and are devoted to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
Proper tree care is an investment that can lead to substantial returns and increased personal enjoyment. Hiring a certified arborist can help care for your trees and add considerable value to your property. Inspections by Ohio ISA certified arborists can often find and mitigate tree defects before they fail. Only professionals with specialized knowledge and training are properly equipped to provide appropriate care. To find an arborist, visit trees4ohio.org. That's trees4ohio.org.
And now, Public Education Matters with Ohio Education Association President Jeff Wensing.
As we celebrate Independence Day and America's 250th birthday, we remember our history, both the good and the bad, so we can build a better tomorrow for all of us. Our students must receive a full and honest education so they can grow as critical thinkers. Let's celebrate America's freedom by protecting their freedom to learn.
Public Education Matters, brought to you by the Ohio Education Association.
When you first saw her, she was out walking her dog. You didn't notice her at first. But when you finally did, it was too late. Because at that moment, you were speeding. She was out walking her dog and only had a second to let go of the leash. Your foot was on the gas, and her life was on the line. Speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
The Ohio High School Athletic Association has announced a new high school sport. Tim Street joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Jay. Thanks for having me on. And you are right. We have a new sport, and it definitely was a historic announcement.
All right, do we need a drum roll? Okay, here it is. What?
Girls flag football.
Girls flag football! All right, we're all excited about this. What does it mean to be officially recognized as a high school sport?
Sure. Well, the way I've described this for our sanctioned sports is that it's a two-way street. Certainly, the sport gets all the support and attention that our OHSAA sanctioned sports get. It's our state championship trophy. It comes with our publications, our broadcast coverage, our endorsement. But it's also it also puts some onus on our member schools and the sport itself too to be a sanctioned sport. Those student athletes need to follow our bylaws. We determine the season dates. We determine the tournament format. And certainly our sports regulations and bylaws then cover that sport. So it definitely will put something on our member schools if they do want to have a girls flag football team, that they then will follow the OHSA handbook just like all the other sanctioned sports do.
Now, are these players covered by OHSSA insurance?
Yeah, that is a good point. So those student athletes, now when they're competing, they are covered by our insurance policy. So that is definitely one reason why the girls flag football community has wanted to be sanctioned. That is definitely a benefit for them. And also, too, now they will then get some travel reimbursement expenses covered by OHSA like we do for a lot of our other sanctioned sports. So, you know, this is just the latest example of a sport that began in its infancy, which was not too long ago for girls flag. It was only 4 or 5 years ago that this all began. But, you know, it grew quickly, and it really wanted sanctioned status. And we saw this with boys volleyball, with girls wrestling, with lacrosse. All those in the last 10 years have also become sanctioned sports.
All right, back in the dark ages, I played flag football as a child, and we had a belt, and we had a flag that was Velcroed on one side and a flag that was Velcroed on the other, right and left. Is that still how it works?
Well, they do wear a belt, but they are, the best way I can describe it is little suction cups where the flag has a piece on one end that fits up into a little cup, for a better lack of a better word. It's a little plastic piece that the flag fits up into. So when you pull the flag, it's not Velcro, but it's a similar concept.
So do we still have two flags and then you're out?
Yeah. So one flag, you're right that there's a flag on both sides of the belt, and you just take one flag pull for the player to be quote unquote down or tackled. So one flag pull and the play is over.
So what happens when a player has no more flags?
Oh, though then they can't be in the game. and that happens sometimes where either a belt gets either damaged or it tears, or the player loses a flag. So before a play begins, that's part of what the officials have to do, is do a quick scan. Do all five players on the field have two flags each, because if a player is in the game without both flags, that is it's essentially like a delay a game penalty that you would see in tackle football. So the referees would stop the play and that player would have to leave the field.
Okay, so who are the five players on the field if we're on offense?
Yeah, so, and that's a good point, is that, you know, some states play 7-on-7 flag football, but Ohio will follow the National Federation protocol, which will be 5-on-5. You have to start with a center who has to hike the ball between her legs, just like in boys tackle football. That's how the play starts, and it goes to a player behind her, so that would be your quarterback or a running back. And then there are three others, so those would be three wide receivers. You could also have two wide receivers and a running back. The flag football that we have seen over the last couple years has been predominantly passing, but there is some running, too. There are some sweeps. There are some reverses. So certainly the faster your fast player is, the more likely you can run some of those wide plays that may get to the sideline.
How long is the field?
75 yards long, 75 yards long, and 25 yards wide.
Do we have goalposts?
No goalposts. There's no kicking in girls' flag football. After a touchdown is scored, the team will have to go for two and run a normal play. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, the strategy of that, knowing that you're not going to kick, you're going to go for two. But the size of the field is interesting because, this is partly by design, but the field fits on a regular football field going from sideline to sideline if you include some area off the field as well. Think of it, if you think of a normal high school field, let's say there is a track around the field, you can put four flag football fields on that field running sideline to sideline. So you're able to set up a lot of fields and play multiple games at the same time.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, what happens after I score? How does the other team get the ball back if there's no kicking?
Yeah, so it would be like, it'd be similar to what you would see in junior high football or JV football on a Saturday morning. The other team gets the ball on their end of the field, essentially what you would call the 15-yard line, the 20-yard line.
So it's a touchback.
First down.
Yeah, it's a touchback.
Essentially, it's a touchback, yes.
All right. How many schools have teams?
This has been a huge growth curve, and it's why girls flag is now sanctioned. This past spring, there were 162 schools that had a girls flag football team, and that's such an amazingly quick growth. 5 years ago, there were 20.
Wow.
And we're already up to 162.
And this all goes into effect fall 26-27, correct?
Correct. It will be the school year 26-27, so the upcoming school year, and we will keep girls flag football as a spring sport, which is where it's been here the last couple years.
All right. We want to thank Tim Streed from the Ohio High School Athletic Association for being with us, and there is more Ohio Sports Magazine on the other end of the field when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
We know everything.
If you put Depeche Mode on and I'm in a bad mood, there's days where I try to find a blender to put my head in it. So maybe not hate, but I hate myself for listening to it.
Morning Juice.
Weekday mornings at 6, live on YouTube.
The Fan. Join the Red Fan Weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Happy Sunday. We have a mix of sunshine and clouds to start off your day, but keep that umbrella nearby. We do have a chance of seeing some scattered showers and storms later this afternoon into the rest of your evening. A few of those could become on the stronger side, producing some heavier rain, gusty winds, but for the most part, those are only going to be in a few areas. Highs today make it back into the upper 80s and stick around for the rest of the week after we have had a couple really warm days. I'm your 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist, Lily Aldrich, with 97.1 The Fan.
If you see this is ONN.
Last week, Ohio State's athletic director Ross Bjork told media in Columbus their athletic department operating budget is expected to hit $500 million per year sometime in the near future. A half-billion-dollar athletic department caused sticker shock around the world of college athletics. Jake Trotter covers college football for ESPN. He joined Bo Bishop earlier this week on ONN affiliate WBNS-FM in Columbus. Jake says the number is understandable considering the scale Ohio State wants to operate at.
If you want to be competitive in everything, which is what Ohio State wants to do. They don't want to be good in five sports. They want to be good in 20. That takes a lot of funding. And then if you want to be great in football and basketball, that's going to take millions. Yeah, it does not surprise me. That's where we are. And again, like the cost of everything, whether it's paying coaches or players or buying tickets, just going to continue to skyrocket.
Ohio State still has 36 sports. And I said earlier this week, I think that's untenable. And I almost feel like you have to run like two athletic departments, ideally. Like you're running one that takes care of football and men's basketball. And in some cases, you have other revenue generating sports, women's basketball, whatever, that make a little bit of money. Everything else almost has to go back to a completely collegiate model, like the old way. And this isn't fair. Nobody's going to love hearing it. But Jake, I just don't understand how you can try to treat non-revenue generating athletes the same as revenue generating athletes. It's not fair, but I just don't know how you do it and make the books work.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of schools, you know, they're taking their, you know, what is it, 20 point, is it 20.5? I can't even remember now.
It keeps that moving. Of, yeah.
It's already gone, you know, yeah, it's moving in the direction going higher. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of schools, you know, they would pick up four or five sports where that money would go to. You know, some schools it would be, you know, football, men's basketball, women's basketball, and then baseball, softball. Some places, you know, has wrestling. Others have volleyball. You know, you go down the list, each school is different in how they're going to, you know, allocate money. And I think that the programs that want to have great basketball teams are going to have a hard time balancing that in football. You know, that's number one. And like, if you want to be good in baseball, I mean, let's forget football and basketball. You want to be good in baseball, you got to pay $1 million to go get a big time player in the portal. Ohio State is in an interesting spot because we've talked about before, you know, Ohio State could be really, really interesting in baseball and softball. I mean, there's a lot of good high school baseball in the state of Ohio. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, Ohio State just hasn't been relevant nationally baseball. I mean, weather has something to do with that, obviously, sure, as it does for all the northern teams. But you still see teams with questionable weather. You know, Nebraska sticks out both in softball and in baseball that have gotten to the College World Series, that have gotten into the top five of the polls and have gone out and gotten, you know, big time, you know, free agents, college free agents. So, yeah, I mean, I think Ohio State, like, there's something to be said for being good in everything from lacrosse or golf or tennis or swimming, et cetera. And then, you know, the stuff that has a little bit of juice that isn't football in terms of revenue, which would, I think, baseball and softball would fit.
I think the thing that's tricky for athletic, for Ross Bjork and anybody who's running athletic department, you almost have to go to your alumni base. You got to almost just say, like, hey, what do you want to be good at? You mentioned two sports. Wrestling has won a national championship at Ohio State in my time covering the team. The lacrosse team, the men's team, has played for one. And we get national championships in tennis and all these other things around here. But it's
when,
like,
you see ice hockey, you know, places,
sure,
like Michigan,
women's
and
ice hockey,
State be really popular.
Absolutely.
What would you do if you were Ohio State?
I mean, it's never a positive thing to say around here, but I would get rid of some of these sports, and I would play sports that are played by kids that play in the OHSAA. If the OHSAA is a sanctioned sport, then I would have it be a sanctioned sport at Ohio State. And I would try to say for everything other than football and men's basketball, everything else should be an Ohio generated operation. Where we're going to have Ohioans play here
right now.
For the longest time, for example, now they have basketball. They have volleyball now, but for the longest time, the state of Ohio didn't have volleyball. I don't know if the state of Ohio has fencing, pistol, rifle. These are just men's sports. Men's gymnastics. I don't know if the state of Ohio has men's gymnastics. There is everything else looks to me to be an Ohio one, but I think we just did five on the girls' side. Gymnastics, I think, although it might be club, rowing, rifle, pistol again, swim and dive. Swim and dive is dance. I don't know. That's a scholarship program at Ohio State. So there's a handful you could probably have to have hard conversations about.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate the well balancedness of that with Ohio State, but again, does it come at the expense of you having, you know, a baseball team that can make the College World Series? I don't think it would take Ohio State very much to go from what they are now to being like, oh, wow, Ohio State's 10th in the country this year in baseball. I mean, they could do that if they wanted to. You know, same with softball. But again, it's hard to do yeah. that when you're funding, you know, 20, was it 25, you said, 25 programs?
They have 36 total sports.
36.
Men's and women's. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Bishop and Friends.
You felt completely safe dropping your kids off. Like, my parents didn't even hesitate to drop me off at Holiday Village Mall in Great Falls, Montana for 6 hours.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Cool Cup. Your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
It's time to discuss Cincinnati Reds baseball and hear from Stephen Offenbaker of Locked On Reds with our Paul Keels.
It's our pleasure to talk with Stephen Offenbaker, co-host of the Locked On Reds podcast today. And if you've not checked it out, shame on you. You should, because it's full of all kind of information for those who are Reds fans. And as we do this, the Reds are just halfway through their series with Milwaukee. So full disclosure there, Steve. But what do you make of this hex the Brewers have had over the Reds?
It's been a long time. I think that the Brewers are a dominant organization that just continue to get it done. And, you know, quite frankly, I think they're in the Reds' heads a little bit. You know, the Reds go into these games and they have leads and they do okay at the beginning of the game, but you can kind of just feel it build and the inevitable is coming and the Brewers take the lead. And I can't put my finger on it, but it's not fun at all.
No, it's not. And I heard you guys talking on one of your recent podcasts about the bullpen and the Band-Aid fix. Is that where we can kind of look at a lot of what is an issue presently?
Oh, the team is just a Band-Aid across the board. You know, you've lost two center fielders in the last week, a Band-Aid out there now with Matt McClain getting his first action in the big leagues in center field, basically platooning with TJ Friedl now. The bullpen is all Band-Aids. They're getting, you know, Emilio Pagan is back, but they continue to have issues. Tony Santion goes down. They can never just kind of get the group healthy and together. And I think the same holds true for the starting pitching. They're going to get Hunter Green back, but, you know, Rhett Lauder is struggling mightily. Everybody can't fire on all cylinders together. And I think that's really the biggest problem with this team.
Steve, is Lauder the guy that could possibly be the odd man out when Green comes back?
Yeah, I think that is probably the direction it's going to go. There's two options. They'll either send him down to Louisville and let him continue to work on things, or, you know, he'll have some kind of inflammation, some kind of itis that puts him on the injured list for a little bit. You have to remember that Rhett Lauder is coming off of a season where he missed an entire year. He's not stretched out enough to give you 32 starts in a season. So they're going to have to find a way to skip him some starts anyway. So this is probably the perfect opportunity to do that.
You guys talked about it on your podcast, but what are the realistic expectations in your mind, Steve, for Hunter Green?
I think with him coming back, they need to be careful. I feel like this rehab was rushed a little bit just out of necessity. He made two starts in Louisville. He threw 85 pitches his last time out. Big league innings are different. I think if he comes out and gives you 4 to 5 innings in this first start this weekend, that's a success. He's going to get a couple starts before the All-Star break, and then the Reds can kind of reset and see where they are. I wouldn't let him go much more than 5 innings, much more than 80, 85 pitches, at least the first couple starts out.
Yeah, understand. As you look at this whole picture, and again, something you guys addressed, Ellie De La Cruz and Sal Stewart at the top of the batting order. You like what that's giving them presently, Steve?
What a 1-2 punch that is. Yeah, I do like that. I think that, you know, we see this with a lot of teams. You know, Kyle Schwarber batting leadoff for Philly at times, Shohei Ohtani batting leadoff for the Dodgers. It's not unheard of nowadays to put your best player right up there at the top of the lineup, and that's Ellie De La Cruz. And then with Sal Stewart having the opportunity to hit right behind him, Sal Stewart could give you 30 home runs this year in his rookie year. Sal Stewart could maybe give you 100 RBIs in his rookie year. So that's a great 1-2 punch. Now the rest of the lineup needs to come along for the ride and start producing a little bit.
Yeah, that's Tony Perez territory you're talking about there. What do you like what you're seeing from Ellie De La Cruz on the right side, Steve?
You know, there's a difference this year. He is really hitting the ball well. He's hitting it with more authority. He's hitting for power. He seems to have a much better feel of the strike zone from that side. And I think it's just come with repetition. It's come with the work that he's put in the offseason and continues to put in. The fact that he's now a bona fide switch hitter that is dangerous from both sides of the plate, that's a big thing for the Reds. I think that's going to continue. Pitchers have been trying to figure him out all year. You know, his first home run the other day back from the injured list came from the right side of the plate. The power is there, and I think it's going to continue to grow.
Are you starting to ruminate about trade deadline?
Yeah, and I think the more we see the Reds lose games like they've been losing to the Brewers, the more we're going to find the Reds in the seller category. You know, nobody wants to be the first team to declare, but it's getting pretty close to the time where they're going to have to figure out what it is they're doing. If they decide to be sellers, we could see some names, you know, leaving this team. J.J. Blade could be one of the top guys on the list. Nate Lowe could be another guy on the list that you're looking at trading and seeing what you can get in return.
Steven Offenbecker from the Locked On Reds podcast. We encourage you to check it out. Thanks as always, Steve.
Appreciate it, Paul.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Now is a great time to schedule a back-to-school dental appointment. Dr. Kyle Bogan, president of the Ohio Dental Association, is here to tell us more.
Your child's teeth and gums need the right food, nutrition, and vitamins to grow strong and stay healthy. Help them maintain good oral health by brushing every morning and night, flossing, visiting the dentist twice a year, and developing good eating habits. As kids head back to school, it's important to know that foods and drinks high in sugar, acidity, and other cavity-promoting substances are often low in nutritional value and have the potential to create plaque capable of damaging tooth enamel. A back-to-school dental appointment can diagnose any potential problems and improve your child's oral health. Ohio Dental Association member dentists are located throughout the state, are dedicated to providing the highest quality dental care, are bound by the highest ethical standards, and obtain superior ongoing education and training. Ask if your dentist is a member of the Ohio Dental Association so you know you're being treated by the very best. To find an ODA dentist in your area, visit oda.org.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
Getting a speeding ticket can ruin your day. But what about that cyclist or the pedestrian crossing the street? If you hit them while speeding, you'll do more than just ruin their days. That's why tickets are more than just a fine. They're a second chance, a reminder of what's on the line when you're behind the wheel. You won't get a do-over every time. So take this as your sign to follow the speed limit every drive. Speeding slows you down. Paid for by NHTSA.
The big one returns to Ohio. It's the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals presented by Grundy Insurance. See over 6,000 of the nation's baddest hot rods, muscle cars, and classic trucks on display. And don't miss Good Guys Autocross Racing action, a tire-smoking burnout competition, a pro street takeover, an earth-shaking Nitro Thunderfest, meet the top builders, and so much more. Happening July 10th through the 12th at the Ohio Expo Center. Details at good-guys.com.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Colin Berenger to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, Zach Jackson joins to discuss the Browns and how he is excited about the young offensive players that will get a chance to shine this season.
And yes, I'm optimistic on this group.
You know, I think Quinshon Judkins, if he's healthy, can be a really good player, maybe even better than that. I think Harold Fannin is already a really good player and maybe a superstar. And I know this receiving core is going to be upgraded. So these guys haven't taken a single training camp snap yet, right, Jay? But Denzel Boston was the unquestioned star of the spring. He was drafted 15 picks after Casey Concepcion, who was brought in for his explosion, for his athleticism, you know, things that this team was missing. Isaiah Bond is at least improved. Is he going to be great and consistently good? I don't know. But more than anything, Jerry Jeudy is not the guy they have to count on. And Harold Fannin is a known commodity who can move around the formation. So I worry about depth. I worry about development. Worry about all these things. But yes and yes, Mike. Yes, 30th. Fits, and yes, maybe 15th or 20th by the end of this season seems reasonable.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
The Fan. Common Man and Timmy.
This is what happens when you're married a certain amount of time. You do things out of spite.
I'm going to wear them harder and faster.
I am.
And thicker.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Really bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip. And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We want to thank Tim Elkhorn, Tim Streed, and Ryan Baker for being our guests this week on Ohio Sports Magazine. And we thank you for listening. Happy birthday, America. For Colin Berenger, Eric Reeser, and Paul Keels, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine. And join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.